Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Good morning, and I'd like to welcome you to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. This broadcast is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we appreciate the church. And I'd like to take time to invite you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. We have Sunday morning 10 a.m. Sunday school for all ages. We have our 11 a.m. worship service on Sunday mornings as well. And then second and fourth Sunday nights at 6 p.m. we have our Sunday evening services. Then every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. Usually I preach through a book or take a subject and preach through that, deal with something. I just finished up a four-week series on the subject, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." And that's where we're at. We're living in days like it was in the days of Noah. So we have interesting study usually going on at church on Wednesday nights. We'd love for you to come out and be with us. We're located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And for more information, you can call 828-963-4596. We're having revival this week, tonight at 7 p.m., and then tomorrow night, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. This is March 20th and the 21st. And Brother Benny Carper from the Bright Spot Hour, he's with us. And we have really enjoyed the messages he's brought. We started out Sunday morning, and then last night was just wonderful time in the Word of God, and looking forward to getting back tonight. I'd love for you to come out and be with us at 7 p.m. Good morning, Noah. How are you today? Good to have you in the studio.
I'm doing good. It's good to be here. Really enjoyed revival you were talking about. It's been really good so far, and we want you all to come out. It's really good. We want to say how much we appreciate our listeners, those on right here on AM 1450 WATA, and also those who are listening in on AM 690.
We do appreciate our listeners on WZAP as well. That's Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., and we get a lot of comments and from our listeners there, and we do appreciate them very much. Now, we're just going to jump right into the where we left off last week, actually. And last week I talked about the importance of truth, and I have a little book that I've read. Noah has read it as well. The name of the book is How Do You Kill 11 Million People? Why the Truth Matters More Than You Think. And it's by a man named Andy Andrews. And it's a good little book, about 72, 80 pages, somewhere right around in there. I sat down and read the whole book in about, I'm going to say, 30 or 45 minutes. It just didn't take long at all to read that book. But just a great little book to stress some scriptural principles and get us thinking about what is going on in the world today. And of course, How Do You Kill 11 Million People is about Hitler and the rise of the Nazis. And of course, we all know they killed 6 million Jews in their death camps, but they also killed 5 million others. And those others were from a wide range of what they looked at as misfits in society: Christians, Jehovah's Witnesses, Democrats, Masons, criminals, homosexuals. I mean, they killed a lot of people. And how does this happen in a informed society with newspapers and access to information and people that are supposedly educated and advanced and all these things? And so he asked that question: how do you kill 11 million people? Why the truth matters more than you think. I talked about Pilate. He had the Lord Jesus Christ in his very presence. In fact, he had him on trial. And I mentioned last week that even Pilate, this heathen pagan ruler, asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "What is truth?" Truth is important. And of course, this little book, that's how it starts out: "The truth shall set you free." and the truth is important. I want to start out today by reading just a little bit more from this book, just to sort of get us started today. And he said, he's talking about truth and how important truth is. And Mr. Andrews says, with all we know, does anyone believe that telling the truth will solve all a nation's problems? He's talking about telling the truth, how important it is to tell the truth. He says, of course, we don't believe that telling the truth will solve all the nation's problems. But he says, but it is a beginning. In fact, speaking truth should be the least we require of our elected leaders. After all, what are our standards for being led? You see, the danger to America is not a single politician with ill intent, or even a group of them. The most dangerous thing any nation faces is a citizenry capable of trusting a liar to lead them. And I underlined that. I thought that's very good. The most dangerous thing any nation faces is a citizenry capable of trusting a liar to lead them. I think that's where we are in America today, and have been for quite some time. We trust liars to lead us. Bill Clinton was a liar. Obama is a liar. And there's many, many liars that are out there. And when people run for office, they lie. And we know they're lying. And we know they're promising things that they're not going to be able to fulfill. And so we trust liars to lead us. That's a very dangerous position to be in as a nation. He said, in the long run, it is much easier to undo the policies of crooked leadership than to restore common sense and wisdom to a deceived population willing to elect such a leader in the first place. Any country can survive having chosen a fool as their leader, but history has shown time and again that a nation of fools is surely doomed. I was looking the other night. We came in from church on, well, it was Sunday evening when this came on, but I was looking through the channels, and there was an interesting show I thought I'd watch a few minutes, called The Hal Lindsey Report. He's a Christian, deals with political things in light of the Bible and prophecies in light of the Bible. And he had a section on his show, and I watched it. It was very interesting. But the title to that segment and what he dealt with to begin with was called America the Duped. America the Duped. We have been lied to. We are being lied to, and it is common knowledge that we are constantly lied to as the American people. Well, let me read on just a little bit more. I'm just going to read a couple of things. I thought this was very interesting. I'm going to go to the next page. He said, incredibly, there are currently 545 human beings who are directly, legally, morally, and individually responsible for every problem America faces. Now, that's a pretty stout charge to say that there's 545 people in America that are directly, legally, morally, and individually responsible for every problem that we have. But listen to who he's talking about. He said, have you ever wondered why America doesn't have a balanced budget? And we don't right now, by the way. He said, and I said that, but he said, have you ever in your life heard of a politician who wasn't for a balanced budget? Have you ever heard a politician speak in favor of a complicated tax code that ordinary citizens would find difficult to understand? Then why do we have a complicated tax code that ordinary citizens find difficult to understand? He said, meet the 545 men and women who enact every law, propose every budget, and set every policy enforced on the citizens of the United States of America. One president, 9 Supreme Court justices, 100 senators, and 435 members of the House of Representatives. And then he says, by the way, have you ever noticed that if any one of us lies to them, it is a felony? But if any one of them lies to us, it is considered politics. According to the United States Bureau of the Census, our population has now increased beyond 311 million people. To be clear, that's 545 of them and 311 million of us. Can 311 million Americans ever hope to wrestle the power away from the 545? He says one would think so. But did you know that during the past quarter century, that's the last 25 years we're talking about, no presidential election has been won by more than 10 million ballots cast? Yet every federal election during the same time period had at least 100 million people of voting age who did not bother to vote. Here's what gets me. People say, what can I do about it? It doesn't matter. There's 100 million people in America of voting age. If a portion of that 100 million people of voting age that do not vote would get stirred up and awoken, they could change the face of this country in just a very short period of time. But most people do not know, do not care what is going on in America. And isn't it amazing that 545 people basically are running this country into the ground? Now, I would say, in all fairness, not all 545. There are two good ones, maybe three, maybe a few more, not many, but I'll tell you, the majority are running this nation into the ground. Now, I want to talk today about this the rest of the time. Direction determines destination. And I got this thought out of the little book, How Do You Kill 11 Million People? He said, and I couldn't find it again, but something along those lines, but I'm just going to put it like this. Direction, now think about this with me. Direction determines destination. Now, what I mean by that, I'm talking to you today from Northwest North Carolina. If I leave North Carolina and I go south, I'm going to eventually end up in South Carolina. If I go on, I'll go through to, you know, I can go to Georgia, I can go to Florida, but you see what I'm saying. If I go south from North Carolina, my direction determines my destination. If I go south, I will end up in South Carolina. I won't end up in New York, and I won't end up in Texas. I'll end up in South Carolina and on down through Florida. If I go west from North Carolina, I'm going to end up in Tennessee. If I go north from North Carolina, I'm going to go to Virginia, and then right on up the East Coast, I'll end up, you know, in New York. I'll end up in Canada if I keep going, but I'll not end up in Texas if I go north. My direction determines my destination, where I am going to end up at if I keep on this direction. Do you know, want to know today where we're going in this country? Well, just look at our direction. Look where we're headed. Where we are headed is where we are going to end up. God showed me something yesterday. I was reading and studying, and I ended up in Psalms chapter number 10. Psalms chapter number 10 is about the wicked, the whole chapter. Read it. You'll gain some insight about the wicked and their ways and their end, which I get a blessing out of. But anyway, he tells us several things in Psalms chapter number 10 about the wicked. And verse number 3 was very interesting to me, what he said about the wicked. He said, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth." Now, he said, the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. Now, here's something about the wicked. What they do and what they plan to do, they do not keep secret. They might think they keep it secret, but a wicked heart wants to boast and brag about what it plans to do. So, if you want to know the plans of the wicked, just listen to what they say. They will tell you. They cannot help but tell you. It's part of a prideful, sinful nature to want to say, look at me and look what I'm going to do. The wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. If you want to know the plans of the wicked, just listen to what they say. Read what they write about. Listen to the speeches that they make. Read the books that they write. Look at who their friends are and what their friends are saying, and you will learn. It's not hard to learn what the wicked want to do. I was looking yesterday at the headlines, and one of the websites I go to had a headline that Ellie McPherson, now she's one of these supermodel people, and she lives in London, England, I think it said. And the headline interested me, so I clicked on it and read the story. And basically, she had been interviewed in a magazine, and Ellie McPherson says, "I'm for Obama. I'm a socialist. I live in England, and I'm a socialist, and I'm for Obama." Now, that ought to tell you something. Do you know what? Socialists vote for Obama. Those who want our country to be a socialist nation, that is the direction that he has taken our country in. Barack Hussein Obama campaigned on the theme to rally people, to seize the moment, to fundamentally transform America. And a lot of people didn't pick up on what he was talking about, but he is just doing what he said he was going to do. He's trying to do what he said he was going to do, to fundamentally transform America and to make America something different from what it is right now. And he is going about doing that in his policies, in his decrees, in his appointments, in his laws, and in his associations, and on and on and on we could go. Now, if we desire to have a socialist states of America, we are heading in that direction. If we keep on this road, that is exactly where we're going to end up at. Direction determines destination. That's a very simple thing to think about. And if you want to know where we're headed, you just look at the direction that we're going in. And if we end up as the socialist states of America, if we end up a socialist nation, which we are a long way down that road already, but I'll tell you, you and I that believe in America and believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence, if we end up as a socialist country, if we keep going down this road, there's some things that you and I can say goodbye to forever. You can say goodbye to freedom of speech. You can say goodbye to saying what's on your mind, because that will not be allowed. There is a huge opposition to certain people's freedom of speech. You can say goodbye to that. You can say goodbye to freedom of religion and worshiping God according to the dictates of your own heart. You can say goodbye to that forever. I'm talking about having freedom to do that, freedom to talk to others, and freedom to preach in your pulpits, and freedom to witness, and freedom to say that God says that something is wrong. That'll all be considered a hate crime, and you'll be prosecuted because of that and for that. You can say goodbye to freedom of religion. You can say goodbye to freedom of movement and association with others, which we supposedly have right now, but the test tube is already in place in America to limit and make very hard for us to travel about this country. We see the TSA and the going through the airports and the body scans and all of these things. It's like mice in a experiment. Freedom of movement, you can say goodbye to personal property. The right to self-defense, the right to keep and bear arms, you can say goodbye to that. Mr. Obama has made very plain, and those in his circle of friends, that they're not going to talk very much about this in the first 4 years. And they're going to work under the radar. You can study all this out by yourself. But in the second 4 years, if he gets in again, they're really going to come down hard, and they're going to do an end run around the Second Amendment, and they will have gun control in this nation. So you can forget about defending yourself, your family, your property, your life. It will be gone. Personal privacy will be gone, and we're already a long ways down that road. Prosperity is going to be gone as well. I seen something else yesterday. I was studying Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible says over there, "The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness." The wise man's eyes are in his head. What that is saying is that a wise person uses his eyes. And he looks around and sees what's going on, and it's very easy to see the handwriting on the wall if you will open your eyes. But the fool walketh in darkness. There's a lot of people, the majority of people are going about walking in darkness. They don't realize what is at stake in this nation. But if you'll just look around at what is happening, if you'll pay attention to the newspaper, if you'll pay attention to the political stage in our country, you will see what is happening. The wise man's eyes are in his head. If we in America, real Americans, Christians, patriots, do not wake up soon, we are doomed. Now, you might think that's pretty strong statement to make, but I promise you that is the direction that we're heading in, and that is going to be our destination. If you study about Clinton and Hillary and Obama and all of their friends and their association and their background and their the people that they hang around with, in order for them to change this country to a socialist country, they realize that they will have to crash what we have right now. They'll have to tear the system down. And there's a reason behind this ginormous debt that we're getting our nation into, and these wars that we're fighting all around the world, and they are running our country into the ground. Their design is to tear it all down. They realize they're going to have to tear it all down, crash the whole thing in order to start over, and that is the direction. Direction determines destination, and so we can say goodbye to the unique things that make America great: the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the right to keep and bear arms, which keeps the other two in check, and we can say hello to a police state. We're a long ways down that road. A nanny state that determines every little decision of our lives. We can say hello to a state religion. I believe we've already got a state religion. Obama said, you know, I'm talking about the birth control. That is wrong. That the Catholic Church and Christian people, they're always talking about the Catholic, but there's a lot of Christians that wouldn't go along with that. But being made to do this against their will and against their convictions and against what the Bible says, a state religion is already being set up, and it's a state religion of humanism is what it is. Persecution will come. Persecution is a result of this. It always is. It's a historical cycle that repeats itself over and over and over again. Persecution will come in America. If you know anything about the Bible, the greatest persecution this world has ever seen is yet to come, and it will be at the hands of government. Let me give you an example of our leadership's disdain for and their hypocrisy concerning democracy. They hate democracy, and they are hypocrites when it comes to true democracy. What I mean by that, now, if you keep in mind today, and I'm not trying to bash one above another, but I'll tell you, we need to wake up and see where we're at and who's in charge in this nation and what's going on. And you keep in mind that Mr. Obama is no better than Mr. Bush when it comes to the War Department. You know, he said, we'll get out and we'll do this. Well, we're still fighting and going, and now we've been involved in fighting in Libya, and we're probably going to get involved in Syria, and we're going to get involved. We are in the Strait of Hormuz and all mixed up with Iran and all of these things. And here's their reasoning behind that. Well, democracy in Egypt, democracy in Libya, democracy in Syria, and all, they use that word. We are over there. We have a moral obligation. These people want to have democracy, democracy, democracy. And they talk about that, and it falls freely from their lips to talk about democracy. But last Saturday, this is March the 17th, 2012, I got the Winston-Salem newspaper, and there's an article on the front page, and it says, Obama opposes marriage measure. Now, in North Carolina, coming up in May, there's going to be a constitutional vote on marriage. But Obama opposes the marriage measure. It says, spokesman says, he's against constitutional amendment in North Carolina. You know, we go over there and fight and die and bleed so they can have democracy in Egypt, but they don't even want the democratic process to take place here in America. They're opposed to that. And what that proves is they really don't care anything at all for democracy, but what they are out for is control. They want to control the country. They want to control the moral state, the spiritual state, the physical state, the financial state. They want to control everything about your life and my life. There was an article also, March the 16th. This was signed by executive order. And the title to it said this. It said, martial law, White House issues executive order called the National Defense Resources Preparedness. And I read through this executive order, and it's a long, drawn out, complicated, hard to understand one of the, you know, it's from the government. That's how everything is. Just try to fill out your taxes by yourself. But anyway, this executive order was signed March 16th, and they were asking, is this an executive order authorizing martial law in America? Now, if you study this out and you read it and trace it back, what this is just an updating of executive orders that were already signed into place. George W. Bush had it, and Bill Clinton had it. Bill Clinton, I believe it started with Bill Clinton, but they had these executive orders in place to basically take over and do anything they want to do. Well, I've got news for you. They take over and do anything they want to do anyway. What are you going to do? But anyway, is this a precedent for martial law in America? And you know, I've been studying this thing and looking at this a long time now, over 20 years, and the truth is, the devil, if he could, would shut down every gospel preaching church and every gospel preaching preacher this afternoon in America if he could. And that's why Bill Clinton had this in place, and it's just escalated since then. And George Bush had that in place, and then he added more on top of that with the Patriot Act and other things. And Obama has added more control on top of that with the NDAA and other things that they're doing all the time in order to control this country and take over this country and make it something other than what it was. That is the direction we're headed to, and that's the destination we're headed to. But if the devil could, he'd already shut down the church, truth, righteousness in America already. But let me give you the good news before I go today. You know what stops them? There's a holy God in heaven who is long-suffering and kind and good towards us. Revelation chapter number 3, the Lord told the church at Philadelphia, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. If the devil could, he would, but he can't until God says. There's a God in heaven keeps this door open, and I praise his name for it. But I'll tell you, there's a limit to God's long-suffering. There's a limit to how much sin and rebellion and pride that God in heaven will put up with. And I believe even today our nation is under the judgment of God. Our problem in America is not the politicians. There are a lot of it, but it's not a political problem. It's a sin problem. It's a spiritual problem. And so our hope also must be a spiritual hope, and it must deal with our sin problem. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. I hope you'll pray for our nation. We need a spiritual awakening, and apart from that, we're just going to continue down this road, and there is a destination we're going to end up at. Thank you for listening. Noah, give us the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. or you can reach us through our church website at www.mountlebanonbc.org. This has been Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boone.